SBS music station is coming.
SBS Pop Euro.
Filled with Eurovision hits non-stop.
You want more?
Tune in from the 1st of May
on DAB Radio, online,
the SBS Audio app
and SBS On Demand.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
On the SBS On The Money podcast, Australia's new trade agreement with the EU, we take a look at the latest interest rate pricing and is the ASX oversold? Hello everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Tuesday, the 24th of March 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market bounced back, the S&P ASX 200 up 0.2%. It did a lot better earlier in the session and we'll find out more with Stuart Roberts from Stocks Down Under in a few moments. But first, a brief look at the new Australia-EU free trade agreement aiming to make goods cheaper and easier to buy and sell between the two markets. It opens up local businesses to 450 million people in the European Union and could generate $10 billion a year in additional trade for Australia. For consumers, that could mean lower prices and more choice on European products like cars, pharmaceuticals, luxury foods as tariffs are reduced or removed. Australian exports like wine and seafood also get better access to Europe, which could support local industries, but there are trade-offs. Some food names like Prosecco will be phased out locally over time, and farmers say limits on meat exports fall short. The deal also strengthens supply chains and economic ties in what is right now an uncertain global market. For more, I spoke with UTS Chief Economist Tim Harcourt. Tim, at a high level, because this agreement has only just been dropped, to what extent is this deal good for Australia's economy and why?
Well, it's 450 million people in Europe, so that's a huge market for our exporters to get into. And it's a $10 billion deal. So, you know, Europe's a very large trading partner in the world. So in some ways, we've waited a long time for it, but it looks to have a lot of good in it.
Okay, what about consumers? The typical Australian that says, how will I benefit? What's in it for me? Where will consumers see the impact the most? Are there any good examples?
Well, probably luxury goods. So probably fashion and food. I mean, we all like our luxury European fashion brands and food and that sort of stuff. So we'd expect that. And there's a lot of stuff that's hidden in the Australian economy, like when you catch the light rail. You know, it's a Spanish company that put that together. So there's quite a lot of hidden stuff that we won't notice, but they'll definitely benefit our living standards.
Okay. What about EVs? Most European-made electric vehicles will be spared from Australia's luxury car tax. I think it rises, like the threshold rises from around 91,000 for EVs to 120,000. There's also that 5% import tax that will go as well. This at a time when the petrol price is high. Could this really make a big difference to the industry here?
Well, I think it will because, you know, it was stalling for a while and, of course, there's a lot of EVs from China and India, and this will, you know, allow the Europeans to get into the game. So, yeah, probably at a time when people are really hurting at the bowser, they might take the EV option a little bit more seriously.
And finally, is everyone happier or are there areas where there could have been a better deal?
Well, look, it's pretty good on wine. It's pretty good on food names. Like you can still call things, cheese parmesan now because of the names, but I think the beef producers would have expected to get something a bit larger, like what Brazil or America or Canada got. So I imagine the beef producers will be a little bit unhappy, although they have got an increase in their quota. The dairy people will be probably a lot happier, and the wine producers will be happy, and the, you know, God bless the cheesemakers who can still use Parmesan as a name.
Insight Now has a dedicated live channel on SBS On Demand. That means episodes of Insight play back-to-back non-stop. Go to SBS On Demand, scroll down to the featured live channels, and then select Insight. It's that easy.
That's Tim Harcourt there, UTS Chief Economist, from A trade deal. Let's go to the markets now, where the S&P ASX 200 rose 0.2% to 8,379 today, rebounding from a 10-month low. It was, however, 1.6% stronger at the open, so down from those highs. The gold miners did well, as to the iron ore miners, BHP up 3%, Rio 2.2%. The banks were mixed, and the Australian dollar at 69.69 at the close. For more, I spoke with Stuart Roberts from Stocks Down Under. Stuart, so the ASX rallied pretty hard at the open on hopes of an Iran solution, but then lost those gains. How would you describe investor sentiment at the moment?
Investor sentiment is bad, but I think it's misguided. I think there's plenty of reasons to be optimistic right now. You've only got to look at the price of oil, which should have gone to $200 a barrel if the pessimists have had their way. It's actually generally eased up since this crisis in Iran began. I think that's telling you to be optimistic in the near term, if not the medium term.
But still, I mean, Brent, as you mentioned, oil's all over the place. Brent's down 10% compared to this time yesterday. When was the last time you as an investor saw this sort of volatility? And to what extent does it concern you? Not the fact that you think that that the market has overreacted, but the fact that it's been so volatile, what does that say to you?
Yeah, when we last saw this in 2022 when Russia was starting to give Ukraine a hard time. Now, looking back at that crisis, things evened themselves out within a few months, and the world's energy needs started coming back to normal after that. I'm foreseeing something similar coming in the near term as well. But yeah, people just don't know what to think, and they're probably not sleeping well at night, and that's why we're seeing this kind of volatility. But volatility equals opportunity.
How do you see this playing out on the markets overall, though, especially from an interest rate standpoint? I mean, the markets are now pricing in 4 rate rises, which is a lot more than what general economists are out there. And what about that delay to potential US interest rate cuts?
Yeah, that's got a lot of people concerned. But there are ways to play this. You would have seen today a lot of resources companies are doing well. I see, for instance, PLS is up quite nicely. So what the market's telling you is that lithium is back in play again. We might even see some of the gold stocks, iron ore, doing particularly well. So it's more where you park your portfolio at this time, where interest rate changes aren't going to make much of a difference is the factor. But yeah, I wouldn't want to be holding general industrial stocks right now. The interest rate environment is not good.
So with everything we've just discussed, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see those any potential opportunities?
Well, I'm telling people to be optimistic. You've just seen a major takedown of a potential source of instability in the world, and it's played out over less than a month. Now, that seems like a lifetime here in the markets where things change daily. But the world is ending up as a safer kind of place at the other end. The oil markets are telling you, as you pointed out, there's a lot of volatility. So once we get through this, you might even see a change back to a more benign interest rate environment. Remember, this is all about food and petrol. Petrol comes down, food comes down, we can all relax and go back to normal. So maybe in a month's time, you and I'll be looking back saying, why were we so pessimistic then?
Just for more balance, right? But in the meantime, there is a lot of uncertainty. We don't know what's happening. So how do you play it then, right?
Yeah. It's probably a good idea to go to cash at the moment, is what I've been telling people for the last little while. There are going to be opportunities coming out of this at the other end that you might be surprised by. And we don't know who's going to hampered the worst. I'll give you an example of that. Most stocks at the bottom end of the ASX 200, if you look at it on a 12-month performance, the stocks at the very bottom are all still in the red. There's one that ticked up today. It's Treasury Wine Rights. Once the consumer gets back to spending again, that's got to be a prime beneficiary, for example. So I'd be looking at those companies that have been beaten up quite badly, where you could get an absolute bargain at the moment. But yeah, stay a bit more in cash at the moment.
Stuart Roberts there from Stocks Down Under, and he wraps up this podcast for this Tuesday. Don't forget to click subscribe.
Educational purposes only, and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice, and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only.
Inside. Insight Now has a dedicated live channel on SBS On Demand. That means episodes of Insight play back-to-back non-stop. Go to SBS On Demand, scroll down to the featured live channels, and then select Insight. It's that easy.